One day in the Garden of Eden, Eve calls out to God, "Lord, I have a problem. I know you have created me and have provided this beautiful garden and all these wonderful animals and that hilarious comedic snake, but I'm not happy." "Why is that, Eve?" came the reply from above. "Lord, I am lonely." "Well, Eve, in that case, I have a solution. I shall create a man for you." "What's a man, Lord?" "Oh, this man will be a flawed creature with aggressive tendencies, an enormous ego, and an inability to empathize and listen to you properly. All in all, he'll give you a hard time. But he'll be bigger, faster, and more muscular than you. He'll also need your advice to think properly. He'll be really good at fighting and kicking a ball about, hunting fleet-footed animals, and not at all together bad in the sack." "Sounds great," says Eve. And the Lord said, "There's one catch. You'll have to let him believe that I made him first." On the previous day, Adam was walking around the Garden of Eden feeling very lonely. So God asked him, "What's wrong, Adam?" And Adam said, "I don't have anyone to talk to." And God said, "I will make a companion, and it will be a woman. This woman will gather food for you, cook and wash your clothes. She will always agree with every decision you make. She will bear your children and never ask you for your help. She will always be the first to admit that she was wrong when you've had a disagreement. She will freely give you love and passion whenever you need it." Adam asked God, "What would a woman like that cost?" And God replied, "An arm and a leg." Then Adam asked, "What can I get for a rib?" One rabbi explained that we can understand the story of Adam's rib as the rending of a complete person into two separate and interdependent halves. The word for rib means side. In Hebrew, one side becomes the woman, leaving Adam one-sided as the man. If you and human beings are essentially incomplete without each other, this rib theology supports thoughtful marriages, purposeful communities, celibates, and single folk with well-developed relational lives, as well as societies mindful of their members isolated by sickness, loss, or misfortune. No one should be left out of the human story, for the story of creation is belonging at its most fundamental level. And the Christian life, too, is grounded on understanding the fundamental reality that we are made to be in relationship with God and one another. Faced with frustration over the Pharisees trying to test, trap, and twist Jesus' words, he welcomes little children. He points to children who have no power, no wealth, and no influence. They occupy the lowest rung on the social ladder. And Jesus makes clear that by the way he accepts children and embraces them. The kingdom is pure gift, and children are the best models for the least and the vulnerable among us. Well, in reply to this Pharisaic investigation on divorce, Jesus tells them they are looking in the wrong place and altogether missing the point, sending them back to revisit the basics of the creation story. Jesus' stern words about divorce probably makes us all bristle a bit and a little uncomfortable. In our world, divorce is as common as viral videos and has touched the lives of all of us here this morning. However, the divorced are still good people. And Jesus meant to build a protective fence around a beautiful thing, a hope for long-lasting marital love. God made us for healthy and holy relationships with God and each other. Historically, we have tended to reason man's superiority over woman in the misreading of this text from Genesis. In the telling of creation, we hear a more fundamental and radical story of God and humanity, uncompromising in its opposition to unjust, unhealthy, and sexist attitudes. For we were fashioned to be in relationship, and by divine design, no person was made to be an island in isolation from community. Through God's eyes, humanity was only complete in partnership, with interdependence, and without domination or subordination. Our primary interconnectedness is a source of great hope. No matter how far you and I may feel from God or others, the bond is always stronger than the distance between us. The relationship cannot be completely broken. The bonds of kinship demand that we know and love both God as Father and one another as brother and sister. This call to kinship is at the heart of the good news and the Christian life. Sexism is not only a sin against women, but tears at the fabric of our most fundamental reality. We were made to be in holy and healthy relationships with God and one another. So what helps you grow in healthy relationships? When do you struggle in your relationships with others? Growing in human relationships is demanding, requires a great deal of give and take, and calls for openness to others and ourselves. Pope Francis gave three words as how to practice the fundamentals of healthy and holy relationships: please, thanks, and sorry. Please, make our needs known to one another and to God, practicing vulnerability and interconnectedness as children. Thanks, practice giving thanks. Become verbose in words of gratitude and generous with appreciation. Sorry, practice reconciliation with one another and with God, acknowledging our own brokenness and trusting in the mercy of the Father at work in our lives. Well, the next time you are feeling a pain in your side, Recall that we are created in the image and likeness of God and have a ribbed connection to all the members of the human family.